clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There was a little song that came into my spirit. It wasn't the song that came first, but the message came first. But how many of you know the little song that you might have learned in church? Are you saved and you know it? Well, see, that's the title of the message this morning. Are you saved and you know it? And maybe real quick, we'll try it. It's something like, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. This is a participation song, by the way. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. And then the challenge. If you're saved and you know it, you get to do all three. So you know what? I got to get you to stand again. Acapella style. So you find your key. I'll try to find mine. And maybe we'll meet somewhere in the middle. I don't know. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, say amen, amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen, amen. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, say amen, amen. If you're saved and you know it, do all three. Amen. If you're saved and you know it, do all three. Amen. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
Good job. Amen. You guys are a good group this morning. I could probably keep you here till 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. Only if the Holy Spirit's in it, because you guys will not like it if the Holy Ghost is not here this morning. Amen. It is such a joy to be in God's house. I see a lot of smiles today. You know, my wife told me the other night, she said, you know, when you preach, your face is mean looking. I said, I'm not trying to be mean when I preach, but I'm just intense in the Word of God. And if I get a mean look on my face, just know it's against the devil, not you this morning. So I'll help you out this morning. Get a picture of this. I'm going to smile at you before I preach. Okay, no cameras. Amen. Are you saved and you know it? Now, I want you to really think about that this morning, because the Spirit really dealt with me about this question. We are very quick in the house of God to say, yes, I'm saved. But there's some things in our life that's going to find out for you and I whether or not we know it. See, when you know you're saved, there's going to be a situation come. There might be a disappointment show up. There might be some endurance that you have to go through. And the knowing it is not while you're shouting the praises of Jesus. It's not while everything looks nice on the outside. The sun is shining. The car is clean. The kids are happy. But when you know it is when you're in the fire. When you know you're saved is when you're crossing the Red Sea. When you know you're saved is when you got to face a Goliath. When you know you're saved, you're down in a lion's den. When you know you're saved, you got to be before a king that says, bow down to me, and they say no. See, you know it under pressure, but we confess it before the pressure comes. Take your Bible this morning. This book is Titus chapter 2. You're going to run right past it if you're not careful this morning. Right after 2 Timothy. When you find Titus chapter 2, I want you to stand for the reading of God's Word, reverencing Him. We're going to pick up the reading at verse 11. Read down through verse 15. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for this blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Father God, I thank you. Very plain and very clear in the scriptures this morning, we find out where our salvation lies. It's in you. God, there is a time and something to be doing right now in this very present age, the very day that we live in. I pray this morning, God, that we would not just let the little children's song, if you're saved and you know it, clap. If you're saved and you know it, stomp. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. We learned that in Sunday school, but Father, life has been played out in our hearts. We have seen dark days. We've seen dark hours. We've seen disappointment. We've seen hardships. But Lord, we have got to remain faithful in this word of Jesus Christ until the very end and prove that in this particular day that we live, there is still a peculiar people who will worship you. We give you our praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Are you saved and you know it? Titus begins to set it up and he says, I want you to exhort people. They're talking about how to have a productive church. You don't want to be in a church that's not productive in the Word of God. It's just a place to go, if that's all it is. But this morning you came because you love Jesus. You got out of your beds on that Sunday morning when it's so easy to just stay right there. Know salvation this morning. Know that it's important to you this morning. God has dedicated His Word to make sure that we understand that we are saved. We are saved. There are many things that we need saved from. Number one, your sins. All iniquity is sin. All of it is sin. We don't need to have a chalkboard and draw out every little sin. You know sin. How many know that when the enemy is working in our life, nobody has to tell you what sin is? You already know it. But what you need is somebody like Jesus to come back along in your spirit and say, listen, I am the salvation for you to get rid of all iniquity, no matter how big or small the iniquity might be. Don't you know that God loves us enough to clean us up? And you'll never begin to serve Him if you think you can clean yourself and be ready. Many people stay out of God's house. They say, oh no, I messed up. I surely can't go to the house of God this morning. I might have said a bad word. I might have hurt somebody's feelings. I might have done something. But God says, come, because it's by grace. Remember that the scripture here in Titus tells us it's by the grace of God that you and I can come unto salvation this morning. Church, we can't go on in life and get away from the grace of God. Nobody, no matter how much education, no matter how much learning, no matter how much preaching and teaching you've sat under and been part of, there is nothing that will ever replace the grace of Jesus Christ that says, I am the saving power. Grace is favor. Grace is something that is not yours. It's a gift. You can't claim it on your good works. I can't claim it on my good works. But when Jesus said, by grace, he put it out on the table and said, here's a gift. For each and every one of you this morning, grace is still here this morning. There's three areas that I want us to talk about this morning. And these areas are going to test your spirit. It's going to build on the question, are you saved and you know it? I don't want you to raise hands and talk to neighbors and say, I do know I'm saved and I do know it. I want you to let the Holy Spirit work this morning and began to show you if you really are saved and you know it, things change. The reaction of what you're going through is different than the reaction of what the world does and what they go through. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. The first one is breaking through to rejoicing. If you're taking notes, I'll give you the three and then I want to begin to share. Breaking through to rejoicing. The second one is mighty fortress. And the third one is my fearless shepherd. Breaking through to rejoicing, mighty fortress, and my fearless shepherd. Church, the Bible says in Philippians 4, there's a scripture there that says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, it's not talking about just coming to church. It's not talking about singing your favorite song. Rejoicing is something that you got to learn how to do and do it again and do it again and do it again. When nobody's looking, rejoice. Always rejoice. There was a place in Psalms 43. David had to learn to continue to rejoice. He had a situation, and it sets up like the world today. He said there was an ungodly world, and an ungodly world is made up of unjust men and women, lawlessness, all the things that the world represents. And in the beginning of what David said, one translation says, he says, judge me, O God. Another translation says, vindicate me, O Lord. David is starting out saying, God, I'm innocent in this particular attack. An unjust world is going to find a way to bring unjust attacks against us. When you would have never thought it was going to come, it's going to come. When it seems like deception is all around you, deception is that unexpected attack. Someone or something is going to deceive you. How are you going to know if you're saved and you know it? When deception shows up, somebody gets behind your back and tries to bring you down. Somebody speaks an unjust thing that is not true and you know it. There's things being said against churches. There's things being said against the Bible. There's things being said against Jesus. And did you know that Jesus said these things are going to happen? But if you're saved and you know it, when these things happen, you got to have a prayer. David's prayer was in this. Number one, he said, God, I'm innocent. You search me. It was an innocent attack on a man of God. And he prayed and he said, God, vindicate me. God, help this situation. And he said it in a prayer in Psalms 43. He's talking to the Lord. And he said, send your light and your truth. Now, many times you and I begin to pray to God and somebody done us wrong. Some situation did us wrong. And here's how we pray. God, get them. God, open their eyes of understanding to show them how wrong they are. But not David. He did ask for the light. He did ask for the truth. How many know that the Word of God will expose all darkness on its own? God's holy Word is going to reveal the sin and the things hidden in the heart of man. It will be found out. God is going to bring to light things done in darkness. It's going to happen. But David's prayer is this, and this is the part of knowing if you're saved and you know it. This is the know it part. His prayer about the light and the truth was this. That the light and truth would lead me back to the house of God. See, there's a difference about if you're saved and you know it. We're saved and we're glad that we're going to heaven, but what we want God to do is bring justice on people right now. But David said, wait, I know I'm innocent. God knows I'm innocent, and I'm not going to pick the fight there. I want God to use his light and his truth and send me back to the house of God. What's David going to do in the house of God? This is the part of if you're saved and you know it. This is the know it part. When you come into the house of God, he tells you there's a couple of things we ought to be doing in God's house. He goes to the altar. He goes to the altar. If you're saved and you know it, when somebody's attacking you and there's an accusation against you and even the devil himself is bringing trouble your way, instead of asking God to put light on the problem, tell God to put light on you. Tell God to send his truth back in your heart so that the truth is, God, I'm innocent. You already know that. You know how to be just. You are a fair God. Let him work it out. You and I do this. Come to the altar. What are we going to do there at the altar? We're going to get close to God. You can read Psalms 43 and we miss it because now we might have went so far and said, okay, David, I'm with you. I understand that I'm not going to pray and ask God to just open their blinded eyes. There's a place for that. In ministry, there's a place to ask God to open the blinded eyes and to see the captive set free. There's places for that, but not in this prayer. So David was teaching us through his own life. He said, when you begin to pray, when there's unjust situations in your life, I could ask you to raise your hand right now, and everybody here could probably say, hey, there is an unjust situation that I've either just went through or happening or had been through in the past. Something is there. But what did it do to you? Many times it keeps people out of the house of God. We got to get this in our spirit this morning. When trouble is in your house, when trouble is around you, let's get back to the house of God. Come to the altar. And in this altar, we begin to pray to him. And we begin to ask God, God, I need you. You are light. He is not light like these light bulbs. He is not even light like the sun. He is light that encompasses himself and clothes himself in majesty. He will eclipse the trouble. He will eclipse the burden. If you will come to this altar, this is where God begins to heal and minister and fix you and I. But we got to get our focus off of the problem out there. If you're saved and you know it, pray that God gets you right. Pray that God gets you open. Pray that God gets you back to the place of rejoicing. That's where David was headed. He said, I need the light. I need the truth. I'll come to the house of God. I'll get to the altar. From the altar, David began to praise. He went to the harp. But in the harp, that was where he began to get to Philippians 4. He'd been through the accusation. He'd been through the unjust act. He had been through the problem. And see, he wasn't talking about rejoicing ahead of time, though that's good. That's exercising your faith. But he said, I got to the altar. And from the altar, I got up and I began to worship God again. The last thing about Psalms 43 is he talks about, I will praise the Lord. He made a declaration and a dedication. I will praise the Lord. If you're saved and you know it, you're going to have a dedication to praise him. I mean a dedication to praise him, to worship him and come to the house of God. The devil is a deceiver. He plays in your emotions and mine. He wants you to be stirred up to the point that you quit, sit down, lay down, and give up. But if you're saved and you know it, you're going to be determined to break through all the way to rejoicing again. And see there in Philippians when it says rejoice in the Lord, didn't say rejoice in the problem. Sometimes we overplay and say, oh, God's just going to teach me something. I got to rejoice about this problem. No. Nobody likes the trouble. Yes, God can teach you something through it, but that's not your rejoicing spot. Your rejoicing spot to stand is rejoice in the Lord. What are we talking about? If you're saved, he is your Savior to get you out and free from the unjust attacks. It might take some time, but if you're going through a court problem, if you're going through a marital problem, if you're going through a child problem, if you're going through something, hold on to Jesus and remember that you're saved because he is the deliverer. He'll get you through that. Moving on. Let's talk about the mighty fortress. We don't talk about this word fortress a lot in our language. We don't quite understand the power and the magnitude of a fortress. A fortress is very much secure. A fortress is going to keep the enemy out. A fortress is going to protect. 2 Samuel 22 says, after God delivered him out of the hands of all the enemies. I'm still talking about David. After God delivered him out of all the hands of his enemies and out of the hands of Saul. When it's talking about the hands of the enemy, the only thing the enemy wants to do, according to John 10:10, is to kill, steal, and destroy. There's nothing to reach your hand out to an enemy's hand and say, I'll trade. There's no good trade there. David was running. David was hiding. But David went to the right place to hide. He went to the right place to run, and he found God to be his fortress. If you're saved and you know it, then you got to know who the God of the fortress is. It's like a mountain. How many know that God speaks on the mountaintop? How many know God's grace reaches to the valley? How many know that God will go down to the depths of the sea and retrieve his own? Did he not do that for Jonah? When Jonah was in the belly of a whale, God said, I'm still there with you and I'm going to get you. But here's the picture of a fortress. I didn't tell them to have a great big picture of a mountain, but it would be a good time to have a mountain right on the screen. An enemy can come, and you can be somewhere in that mountain. Sometimes you'll be at the top of the mountain. You'll see the enemy, and you can bring the attack to them. Other times, God will carve out a place in the mountain itself and tuck you in. But the mountain is the mountain fortress of God. You need to see how big God is. There isn't a mountain on this earth big enough to hold him. But the fortress of him is the image you need in your spirit. If you're saved and you know it, then you'll know the fortress God, who is the mountain fortress God, who means if I got to stand on the heights of the hill, I'll get there with God. If I got to lay in the belly of a mountainside and see myself protected, God will do the hiding for me. God will be my rear guard. God will be my front guard. God will be my protector. See, it's about the protecting. But what do we do? Remember, if you're saved and you know it, what do? Well, we need protection. Where do we run? What place are we going when we need financial breakthrough? I'll just get another loan. Who are you calling when you got real trouble? I'll get a hold of my best friend. I'll call mom. I'll call dad. Maybe I'll call the pastor. You need to know you're saved because there's a fortress in him. Sometimes, church, nobody else is around. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I've been there in my life where I didn't have a pastor to reach out to. I couldn't call home to mom and dad. I couldn't find another person that was going to do it. And that is the place where God lets you know who the fortress is. See, if you're saved and you know it, there's going to be a time in your life where you have to know who the fortress is. It's not you. It's not me. The fortress is the protector, provider, caregiver, and all the things that are there. He is the mountain. The enemy may fight you on the mountain, but God is the mountain. The enemy's never going to move the mountain. What is the mountain? It's the promise of his word. What is the mountain? It's the Holy Spirit being all of my sika tombari. It's the Holy Ghost power that's on the inside that says, devil, no, you can try it, but it ain't going to work. You're under my feet. What does the Bible say? It says that God and Jesus are seated in heaven, and Jesus is waiting for the enemy to be made his footstool. Every last enemy. You know why Jesus can do that? Because he knows who his Father is. And he knows the magnitude of the fortress power in his name. And in that name of Jesus, I'm telling you this morning that there is a fortress like none other. It's the name of Jesus. It's Jehovah God Almighty. He is your provider and your protector, but we got to go to him. But we're running everywhere. We're running everywhere. And the church is running and doing everything. If I can just... You know, it's not good enough to have one or two TVs in churches. You got to have them all the way down. It's not good enough to have five or six or seven singers, but you got to have a mass choir. It's not good enough to have a handful. We got to have a whole multitude. See, God's going to get us there. He said he'd leave the 99 and he'd go after and keep finding the ones. But what we got to do is be like David, remember? Keep on going into rejoicing, breakthrough, rejoicing. Know that you're saved. When you and I know that we're saved, the world will know there's a Savior. Let me say that again. When you and I know that we're saved, that we know that we're saved, then the world's going to know there's a Savior. Everything that God did in His Word was to verify and prove Himself to a lost and dying world. God is not going to be challenged by anything, but He's going to prove Himself. Let's talk about this last one. Great passage of Scripture for the next one is Psalms 23. It's so good, I just want to read it to you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about, are you saved and you know it? Or are you saved just because somebody said you're saved? Are you saved this morning just because you were baptized? Are you saved this morning just because you were raised in a Christian home? Are you saved this morning just because grandma took you to church and you've been faithful to the church? No, none of us are saved that way. We're saved by the grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything else is a witness and a testament of the Holy Spirit power. Psalms 23. I want to talk about the fearless shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, there's a lot to preach, but I'm going to take it a different way. I want to talk to you about the fearless shepherd. See, this passage is about being afraid, but the shepherd's not afraid. If you're saved, there's still some fear in your life. Things still bother us. But if you're saved and you know it, you know the fearless shepherd. And if the shepherd is with you, the Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? What can man do to me compared to what God can be for me? The fearless shepherd, I want you to think about this. David knew what it was to be a shepherd. David had to overcome fear. Now we get excited because David testifies and says, but I was able to see the lion and the bear destroyed. But before there was a lion and bear, David had to know who the fearless shepherd was. Because he was a boy on a hillside tending a flock of sheep. And I don't know about you, but when the coyotes and the wolves and all of that stuff starts being loud in the nighttime, if we'd be honest, none of us are sleeping. We're going to be looking and we're going to be wondering, where's the attack going to come from? David was trained in being a shepherd to overcome fear. One of the things that is stopping the church from knowing that they're saved is the fact that fear is living inside of us to the point that we have forgotten that there is a fearless shepherd leading us through to glory. So what if the government gets on our back? So what if the job place lets you go? So what if the bank account drains? I know those are bad things. I know that's a hard time. But you've got a fearless shepherd who's going to say when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff is there with you to get you through the hour. What is a fearless shepherd good for? The sheep. You know what's happening today? Sheep are trying to be sheep without a shepherd. And shepherds are trying to be shepherds without sheep. Sheep are tender. They're frail and fragile. If you study out the sheep, you understand that when there's anything, any intruder that comes, any enemy that comes into the fold of the sheep, there is frightened sheep. They got to have a fearless shepherd. I mean, when 9/11 happened, a lot of fear struck a lot of people, rightfully so. But what about getting a hold of the fearless shepherd right then and saying, God, I know I'm saved. I gave my heart to You, but now I know I'm saved and I know it because you're helping me overcome my fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. Where's Matthew? Matthew, can you say 2 Timothy 1:7? You got it memorized? For God's not given me, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Good job. That's true. Do you know that sheep are afraid of fast running water and streams? But you know what we're doing today? We're some of the first ones in line to the fastest and newest thing. It don't matter how fast the world keeps going. I'm telling you, the world's getting out of hand. The spinning axis of life is so fast now. And every new thing is out there, and the enemy is really pushing the new. What's the newest thing? What's the newest thing? What's the newest thing? This fast pace will keep you away from the still waters. Do you know why Jesus is talking to us about the still waters in Psalms 23? Because the sheep, in order to get rest, have to be by still water, because the rushing water, the frightening of the rushing sound of water, is keeping them scared. They won't even lay down, let alone go to sleep. There's too many of us in the house of God that cannot even sit still or stand up when God wants us to stand up, because we got fear in our spirit so bad. That we're just getting part of this fast-moving stream. Can I tell you what the fastest-moving stream of the enemy is? Fear. He uses fear. He promotes fear. He lies. He deceives. But he's pushing fear on the church. He's pushing fear on the family. People are afraid to get married today because divorce is too great. I'm counseling some people right now, and I had to sit down and talk with them. Because they've been living together. They've been together for 6 years, but now they're going to get married. And I understand to a certain degree why they're doing this, why they had been living together, because so many homes have been broken and fallen flat and destroyed that people are fearful that if I get married, it's not going to work out. Why are you saying that? If you know that you're saved and you know it, God will save the marriage. If you're saved and you know it and you know that God is in the house, He can save the children. If you're saved and you know it and God is in the church, then God can save the church. But we got to get rid of this fear. But you can't get rid of fear without a fearless shepherd. You have to understand, it's time for the church to let the sheep and the shepherd come back together. We have been divided. We have been like that lost sheep running away from the fold. We need each other, but we need the good shepherd, who is found also in John 10:10, to be the one true shepherd of our lives. If you're saved, are you saved and you know it? What do you do when you get scared? What do you do when you get fearful? Do you know who the shepherd is to go to? Has he become your shepherd? Has Psalms 23 just been a nice little passage that's read at funerals and sometimes in church services? Or is Psalms 23 really getting to the heart of us and saying, you know what, when I get scared and when I get afraid, I know that there is a fearless shepherd in Jesus, and if I'm saved and I know it, then when fear comes, I'm going to Him. Church, things are coming. The world is in more fear today than it's ever been. We have not stopped being under terrorist attacks in the physical. And anything happening in the physical realm, you might as well know that the enemy is working in the spiritual realm to destroy everybody he can. But thank God for salvation. What is being saved? What is being saved? Realizing that God is strong enough, big enough, merciful enough. I want to close reading Psalm 68. If you could go ahead and put a little bit of music on, please. I'm asking a simple question. Are you saved and you know it? Psalm 68, verse 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation. See, what we got to come back to, God's never going to leave you one day. Scripture says that He loads us with benefits daily. What's His benefits? Mercy and grace. But I've sinned so much, how could God give me mercy? Because He loads it up on you every day. I've backslidden and I've let go of the things that I knew of God. You may have let go, but the rope is still there in His hand. He didn't move it. It's time for us to regain an understanding that He's the God of our salvation. Savior. Easter is 2 weeks away. There's no greater price that He ever paid to show us that He saved us. He's our Savior. I want you to bow your heads this morning. This is that place where only the Holy Spirit can work if you'll let Him. Many of us have claimed that we're saved, but have we proved it in knowing it? Where did we run? What did we do? Are we still rejoicing? Again, I say rejoice. Do we know the mighty fortress? Do we know the fearless shepherd? I want to ask a question this morning. There could be somebody here that says, I don't even know Jesus as my Savior yet. I want to encourage you this morning that He's already paid a price for all sin. The guilt, the shame, you don't have to carry it. He'll love you just as He's loved me and others. But you have to make a confession of your faith. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But I'm asking you to be like in school when the teacher calls on those that have their hands raised. See, we have to send something out of our heart to signify that I actually mean what I'm doing as a witness. So if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I have not yet received Jesus. I need Him. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I need to know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I really want heaven to be my home someday. I want to know the peace and the joy of being one of the children that's cared for by a Savior. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to simply lift up your hand. And leave it up for just a second. I want to take a look and see who you are. Let the Holy Spirit work this morning. Father, if there be someone here that's never received You, take the barrier off of them and don't let them hold back this morning. Life and death, eternal life and death is right here. Decision, the biggest decision of their life. Are you ready? I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. I want you to slip up your hand. If you need salvation, if you need Jesus, if you need the Lord in your heart this morning, if you need Him to come in, be your Savior. Hallelujah. Church, I want you to say this prayer with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I need You. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Bring Your peace and take out my fears. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask something else before we dismiss this morning. See, I want you to understand that we never close the altars in the church. It would not bother me that during preaching someone came to the altar, as long as you didn't disrupt the whole service, but you could be on your knees praying before God. Maybe this morning there's some in the church that would say, I need to now know that I'm saved. I have confessed Him as my Lord. I've accepted Him in my heart. But in these places of my life, I still need to once again know He's Lord. Is there someone that would come and just stand and say, in the closing prayer, I just want to be in the place where David said, Lord, let Your light and Your truth come back. Lead me back into the house of God. Take me to the altar. From the altar, let me get back up and rejoice, and let me declare that I'm going to continue to worship You. Is that you this morning? Would you come and stand with me? I'm standing behind the pulpit, but I'm actually in the altar this morning. And we're going to close a dismissal prayer together. All of those that would want to come to the altar, I want you to start coming right now. Surrender. All of us can do more in the Lord. Let Him be your Savior. Just talk to Him. The altar is there this morning. We need Him every day, every hour. Let Him load you down with the benefits of His mercy and His grace. Is there anyone that would come this morning? Let's worship Him. Father, we worship You this morning. Lord, You are the mighty King. You are the Savior. There's been many things that we've went through, Lord, but You've been there to prove to us, yes, we have a Savior. When you come to the altar, just begin to thank Him this morning. Begin to rejoice. You've been through something, go ahead and rejoice. You're going through something, go ahead and rejoice. You remember what you had been through, rejoice anyway. God's there for you this morning. He's our Savior. Church, He's going to be soon to come. He's going to be soon to come. God, I worship You. Make an altar right where you are. Talk to Him before you leave this morning. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. Bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. God, I can't, but You can. I got to have the fearless shepherd in my life. I got to know the mighty fortress that can put me anywhere in the mountain You need me to be. I got to know, Lord Jesus, what You can do in my life. Are You saved? And You know it. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You this morning. I thank You this morning for this brother who's come this morning to the altar. God, he wants to know You more. He wants to know the peace of God, the joy. God, what his need is in his life, be that need, meet it. Speak to his heart, Lord. Love him in only the way You can. Send forth Your blessing. Make a way when there seems to be no way. Open a path when there was no path at all. Lord, I thank You this morning. You do love us. You do love us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a few baskets of food this morning. What we've been trying to do the last Sunday of every month is we have a feed and be fed program. Actually, it's a ministry. I don't like using the word program. If you come to church and you sit just like Jesus had the multitude with him, he was teaching them. Come time to eat, and the disciples said, where are we going to get the food? And Jesus took up a small bag, fish and bread, and he fed a great multitude. That was the birthing of the Feed and Be Fed ministry. And if you could use a few groceries, we try to put some things in there for breakfast, for lunch, and for supper. just for a couple days, but it's something. What I need you to do is just meet me down by the office door and give me a moment to prepare. We only have this morning probably about 4 or 5 bags. We did not get a lot in this month. I want to give it to the most needy people this morning. So remember that. Also, come back tonight if you can make it at 6 o'clock. Stand with me, please. Share just a brief testimony with you. It was maybe 2 or 3 months back, maybe a little bit longer, that we took a church vote. We were asking to do some things with the media and get some things up in the sound booth and some TVs to help us outreach in more ministries. Many of you know that's been in this church that it seems like whenever we have a project, God already puts the money ahead of it. And we've come a long way from a few years back when we had such a heavy burden of debt. But I'm here to testify this morning that before we purchased any of the equipment this weekend, and we've also come in under budget, but God's already replaced it back in our savings. It's like the oil that continues to never run out, and God has blessed us. I heard testimony of 2 people that have been on the prayer list. Both of them have had some brain surgeries, 2 different people, brain surgeries. They came through the surgeries. One had a little complication, but doing better. How many believe God answers prayers? Amen. Say this with me as we dismiss. And you need to look at your crowd this morning. God is blessing the church. But say this with me. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God bless you. You are dismissed. Oh, Thursday, 5:30. Garage sale organization this Thursday night, 5:30. If you can make it, help out with that.